slaughter tables, you know, where they would be sacrificing, you know, the animals, and they had the brazen altar, and they're burning the animals and so forth. And all this would happen out there in that kind of courtyard that you would see. But then you see the little shed, for the most part, that's in the back. That was the holy place and the most holy place. Now, everyone couldn't go in there. Anyone could come into the outer court there area. Anyone could do that. You know, we come into his, you know, gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Anybody could do that, but not everybody could go into, you know, that holy place. Only the priest and the high priest could go in there. Watch this. Only those who had committed their lives to serve God could go in there. And in the back of that particular, you know, structure at the top was where the presence of God abided, in the most holy place. This is where God, you know, had agreed, I will meet with you. This is where you will be able to kind of tap into my presence. Now, thank God, you know, today, because of what Jesus done, we don't have to go through all of that. There's not enough animals for you and I to, you know, to sacrifice that make everything all right. But it showed kind of what God was trying to do with them to help them to kind of progress through certain things. Once they got into that holy place, the very first thing they came in contact with was the menorah, this lampstand that had, you know, these seven, you know, extensions to it. And this is where what we read in Leviticus chapter 24. So let's bring that verse back up. We'll take the picture down, bring the verse back. It says, the Lord said to Moses, command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to keep the lamps burning continually. Talking about these lamps there in the holy place. Notice whose responsibility it was to bring the oil. God told Moses, says, now watch this. You let the people know what their responsibility is here. This is not just, you know, this spectator sport where they're going to watch me do some stuff. They're going to have to be involved. It says, now, in order for these lamps to burn, they have to bring the oil. If they bring no oil, the lamps don't burn and my presence doesn't show. So you have to make sure you bring the oil. And says, now, Aaron, since you're serving really at this particular time as the high priest, it's your responsibility to make sure that those lamps burn all night long. But the people had to bring the oil. The people had to bring the oil. The people had to bring the oil to prepare for the presence. The people. Now, again, we don't have to follow this tabernacle, you know, today, but the responsibility of us bringing the oil is still there. If the lamp is going to burn, watch this, if we're going to prepare properly for God's presence, then we have to bring the oil. Please understand something. Again, church is not a place, it's a people that choose to gather together. But when we gather together the right way, watch this, bringing the oil, there can be some explosive, miraculous things that happen in our midst. That's what Almighty God is looking for. Not a spectator sport. That's how so many people wind up treating church. It's like, well, let's just see what's going on. Let's just watch the preacher. Let's see how the preacher going to be today. No. That's say that for the Dolphins or the Heat game or something like that. But watch this. You done been to them games too. People not just spectating. People are fully invested in those games. Have you ever noticed that? When the church gathers together, you got to be fully invested. And you got to bring your oil. So my question, you know, right up front here is, did you show up with some oil today? See, now watch this. The consumer mindset doesn't show up with oil. The consumer mindset shows up looking for oil. How am I going to be fed by the word of God? And praise God for that. You should be fed, but the reason why you should be fed, because you're bringing your supply, the spirit of things. You're bringing some of your oil, so you're helping for there to be a corporate feeding. As we, watch this, welcome the presence of God. You got to bring some oil. So watch this, that means when we gather, we're gathering with a sense of intentionality. So it's just like I'm coming together, not just simply to go through a religious tradition, because this is what I do every Sunday morning. I'm coming together with other people who are called out, just like I'm called out, and we're on God's mission, and we are expecting miracles. So, Father, what's my supply this Sunday? What do you need me to show up in the gathering with this Sunday? Maybe there's someone I need to speak some life into. Maybe there's someone I need to be a blessing to. Maybe there's someone I need to forgive or ask them to forgive me. Showing up with a sense of oil, where you're providing, you're adding to the gathering, not just simply looking to get something from the gathering. Let's begin to look at something here. For, I guess, analogy's sake, Some folks, you remember those days when you used to go to them gatherings and they would tell you to bring your own. BYOB. And you remember how it was. You was happy to go bring in your own B. And you went with an expectation. Come on, you might as well say amen. You went with an expectation. You was excited to go. And you knew what you had in your B bottle was going to help liven up the party. Come on now. Bring your own oil. Come on, bring your own oil. There ought to be something in you. There ought to be something, you know, what's this, coming with you that's going to liven up the gathering. That's going to add to other people's lives. Whenever the people of the church gather, everyone is to bring your own oil. Everyone is supposed to be a BYOO. Bring your own oil. And there's probably a number of things we could look at on this, but I want us to think about five when we talk about bring your own oil. These are five things that you want to bring to make sure that you are preparing for the presence of God. Number one is this: bring a sense of expectation of the greatness of God and what he is capable of revealing when those who, watch this, who love him are gathered together. Bring a sense of expectation. In other words, you ought to be expecting something good anytime you come into a gathering. You ought to be expecting something good, for that matter, every time you wake up. But specifically, when you're saying, I'm coming into the gathering, you know, of the church, we're coming together, you ought to bring a sense of expectation, a sense of faith that, God, I just know how you are. You are so good and so amazing. So hit us with your best shot on this day, God. We'll take it all. You come with a sense of expectation. As opposed to, you know, oh, it's raining outside. I done had such a long week. I need a day to rest. Oh, I did say I was going to go. All right, I'm going to go. I'm gonna keep my commitment and go. Okay, you kept the commitment, but you show up with no oil. And your lack of oil begins to pull from others. All right. Psalm 19, 7 through 9 says, the revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. Do you understand? The signposts of God are clear and point out the right road. The life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy. The directions of God are plain and easy on the eyes. God's reputation is 24 karat gold with a lifetime guarantee. Yes, indeed. The decisions of God are accurate down to the nth degree. Come on, the revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. When the church comes together, you got to bring your oil of expectation. That's why for years now, you know, every now and then I would just have individuals do it. Come on, we're about to do it now. Just get on the edge of your seat and just lean in. Just kind of lean in. That's how you need to just show up. You know, spiritually speaking, just like I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm expecting something good. If you expect nothing, you get nothing. But you come with a sense of expectation. That's bringing the oil. And it prepares for the presence of Almighty God. Here's the second one. Bring a commitment to go from where you are to where he desires you to be. bring a commitment to go from where you are to where he desires for you to be. I ain't say where you want to go. I ain't say where you want to go. I know that's how we like to think. Well, I got my dreams from God. No, let's slow down. Let's slow down. Let's slow down. Let's slow. Pump your brakes. And let's find out clearly where God wants you to be. Years ago, I had a plan. I had a plan. And it was a good plan. And God had the audacity to come in and insert something else. And can we just talk for a minute? I had a moment like, no, I like my plan better. His plan involved me moving from Detroit, Michigan, where I was, living at the time, to Florida. I had never even been to Florida before. I was like, you mean visit, right? I was like, no, I want you to move to Florida. True story. I stopped praying for a while. I'm just tell you by myself. I was just like, okay. Can we just talk plainly? I was like, okay, God, if you're gonna talk crazy, I ain't gonna talk to you no more. I mean, really, this is how I was acting. I was just like, okay, well, I'm just not, if that's what you're going to start talking to me about, I'm not even praying. Come on, I had to repent. And thankfully, I'm so glad that I did. Yeah. And just follow God. But it always helped me to understand. It says, look son, you got to make sure you find my plan. Don't bring me your plan and want me to bless it. Find my plan for your life, son. I already had it together before you ever came into existence. And it's on that plan that you will experience my blessing at the highest level. A commitment to go from where you are to where he desires you to be. Come on, in the midst of this gathering, you ought to have an expectation of God continue to grow me, shape me, refine me. But it's a commitment, ladies and gentlemen. It is a commitment. Now, I was thinking about this the other day, and I said, you know what? There's some people in this Impact Church that have not heard my chicken and pig story. I said, well, I'm going to have to do something to make this, right, because you'll never understand commitment until you understand the dynamics of Mr. Chicken and Mr. Pig. So, one morning on a farm, Chicken is, cackling, making all kind of noise, waking up all the farm animals in the barn, so forth. And finally, the pig, Mr. Pig, comes sauntering over, and it's just like, what is going on? Why are you making all this noise so early in the morning? And the chicken's just like, listen, we have the greatest owner, master on the planet. He's phenomenal. And the pig was like, well, I can't argue with you on that. I've been on a few farms, and yeah, this guy is pretty good. So the chicken is like, oh, man, great. Finally, somebody that understands and agrees with me. He says, listen, Mr. Pig, why don't we do something special for him? Pig said, okay, I got nothing wrong with that. That's good. What you got in mind? He says, we can make him breakfast. Pig said, okay, what's going to be the menu? He says, the chicken says, I'm going to bring the eggs, and you bring the bacon. All of a sudden, the pig's countenance just shifts. And the chicken looking at him like, what's wrong? Pig says to him, you don't understand. He says, for you to bring the eggs, that's a contribution. For me to bring the bacon, that's a commitment. I have to go someplace where I can't come back from. See, that's kingdom of God commitment. Not this stuff that people say today, like, I promise, I swear to God, and then 2 days later, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. No, it's a sense of commitment where, well, watch this, you put the bacon on the table, meaning you can't get back even if you wanted to. When we gather together, we show up with a commitment that, come on, God, help me to go from where I am to where you desire for me to be. And see, when we all collectively show up with that kind of commitment, then we don't get into our feelings when God starts using other people to help us grow. Because some people, come on, we're just going to talk, have issue with other people getting in your business. I get it. People gossip. It's wrong. But that's not justification for you to hide. That's not justification for you to go against God's plan of doing life together and living a life of transparency. It's not an excuse for it. Not an excuse. Don't do life alone. Have this sense of commitment and live like a pig, never a chicken. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, whenever though they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil. There they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation, the law, is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Man, I like that. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face, and so we are transfigured much like the Messiah. Our lives are gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. Come on, our lives should be gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as we are becoming more like Christ. So when we say we're showing up with this commitment, that's not a commitment or pressure to say now you got to be perfect. So that's not what we're saying. We're saying that you make this commitment that God, I'm willing to go all the way with you. And as we make that commitment, I believe then God is able to work with us, just like how this passage is bearing out. That, come on, gradually you're becoming brighter, you're becoming more beautiful, as God has now entered your life, and you're becoming more and more like him. See, that starts from that sense of commitment, like the pig, not like the chicken. Number 3, talking about bringing your oil. Bring a generosity that funds the continuous fulfillment of God's mission. See, that becomes exponential in its potential due to the gathering. When everyone's, you know, expectation is, yes, this is what I do to help the mission come to pass. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, Apostle Paul, he's speaking to some individuals and he's trying to help them understand the wealth worship dynamic. As what we talked about on last year, you remember, you either worship your wealth or you worship with your wealth. It's one of the two. You either worship your wealth or you worship with your wealth. And here, Paul says this to his young protege and young pastor, Timothy. He says, tell those rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God, who piles on all the riches we could ever manage. Why? To do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. If they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life. Paul was trying to help them understand that there's a dynamic of wealth and worship, and there's nothing wrong with money. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Someone say nothing. For so many years, the Apostle Paul and the Bible was just misquoted because people would say, well, you know, money is the root of all evil. Well, that's not accurate. That's not what it says. It says the love of money. God has no problem with you having money. You have as much money as you want. But have the right heart and relationship with it. And let me just say this, just as a disclaimer. If you think your money is evil, see me after service. I'll take it all off your hands, you know, because I don't want you walking around like that. There's nothing wrong with money and you making money. God has no issue with that. It's just how you relate to it. Don't worship wealth. Learn to worship with your wealth. So when the church, those who are called out, gather together, we come together. Part of the oil that we bring is this generosity to prepare for God's presence and to fulfill his mission. It's a part of the oil. Part of the oil, praise God. Let me give you the fourth one. When you gather together as a church, bring a desperate devotion and worship to God through Christ. Come on, bring a desperate devotion. You understand what I mean by desperate? I mean desperate. There's probably, wow, there's probably a couple of times in my life that I can point to where I was like really, 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 really in a desperate state. And in the one particular moment, I realized a lesson that my father had been trying to teach me for years. And as I'm coming up, you know, we, as kids, you want to eat whatever you want to eat. I think kids still do that today, huh? Yeah. You just kind of want to eat whatever you want to eat. And so my father was like, well, no, you're not just going to eat whatever you want to eat. You're going to eat what we tell you to eat. And there were some things that my parents would tell me to eat I didn't want to eat. And I was I had taken a stance against liver. Took a stance. Okay, listen. I was born and raised to Floyd and Dorothy Crawford. And so, you know, they knew the whole scriptures of, like, you know, don't spare the rod, all that kind of stuff. So they had their belt and the switches and all that kind of stuff. And I never will forget. It was being liver served up one night, and I was just like, I'll take the beating. Y'all can just whip me. I ain't eating that. I'm just telling you right now, I ain't eating that. And my father was like, he says, see, you just don't understand. See, if you didn't have anything else to eat, you'd love to have this. And as a kid, I'm looking at him like, you don't understand. There's Fruit Loops up there in that cupboard. There's all kind of stuff I can eat. What are you talking about? Fast forward some years, I found myself in a situation. I won't even go into all the details of that right now. But I hadn't eaten in maybe a day or two. Nothing. Nothing. Didn't have anything. Couldn't get anything. Nothing. I am starving. I have never been this hungry a day in my life other than that day. And I finally was put into a circumstance where I could eat. And it wasn't my choice. I had to go with what was being served to me. And guess what they served that night? That's how you know God got a sense of humor. Like, aha. And I was like, oh my goodness. That lasted for about 2 seconds. And then I got into that liver, and I mean, I enjoyed it. I was like, oh my goodness, this was so good. My father's words, you know, came back to me. But watch this. It was a desperation. See, when you get desperate, your little personal preferences are gone. See, I was desperate in that moment. So I could care less about what I thought I liked. I was like, I got to have some food. See, when we start talking about, you know, as a church, coming together and bringing our oil, excuse me, and showing up with this desperate devotion that, God, I got to have you. I got to have you. There's no way I can make it. It doesn't matter what people think about me. It doesn't matter if people think that I'm doing too much or I'm being too loud. They don't know my story. God, I just got to have you. God calls us together so he can send us out. But I'm also convinced of this, that when God calls us together, there's a time period where God has to work on us and heal us up. Because a lot of times we will show up, we'll show up hurt. And that's understood. We'll show up hurt. But God will work on us to help us to recover, you know, and to strengthen us. But when we showed up hurt, I know how you showed up, because that's how I showed up. You showed up desperate then. You showed up desperate. Come on. I've talked to individuals. They showed up to church, and they were just like, I woke up this morning, and I was contemplating, you know, suicide. But I knew I just had to get to church somewhere. I just thought, I got to do this. And they get themselves into a place, watch this, where some life can get infused into them, and that whole spirit can be broken off of them. But it's because they were desperate. Can I put it this way? Don't try to be cute when you gather. Come on, you come with a sense of hunger. Come on. I mean, it almost be like a little, sometimes a little scowl on your face. People like, you know, something wrong. Like, no, baby, I'm just hungry. I'm just hungry for the presence of God. That's all. I'm ready to eat. Like, okay, come on. I'm going to eat with you then. But it's got to be this desperate devotion. No, notice what the psalmist says in Psalm 63. God, you're my God. I can't get enough of you. I've worked up such hunger and thirst for God, traveling across dry and weary deserts. So here I am in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and glory. In your generous love, I am really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains. I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners of praise to you. Oh, I love that. Praise God. Come on now, psalmist said, I've worked up a hunger. Come on, out here going, you know, to and fro, I've worked up a hunger and a thirst for God. Psalmist says in Psalm 42, says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. My God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up two hands under heaven with me. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you, you alone. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Come on, lift up two hands unto heaven. Don't spectate and declare. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Father, we hunger and thirst for you. Yeah, our souls like in a dry and thirsty land. Draw us in, Daddy, closer. Closer unto you, that we may be transformed more into your image and your likeness, becoming gradually more brighter and beautiful just like you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, have a desperate devotion. Desperate devotion and worship to God through Christ. Watch this, and it will get developed and enhanced in the gathering if you will allow it to. Oh, yeah. Let me give you the last one, because I think I'm over time. Yep, I am. You bring your expectation, you bring your commitments, you bring your generosity, you bring your devotion, then you bring people. That's part of the oil. You bring those that don't know him so that they may experience an encounter with him just like you. That's all a part of the oil. There's a responsibility that we have to take the goodness that God has shared with us and to invest it into others. And watch this, and be intentional to bring them with us so they can experience and enjoy this goodness from God as well. In John chapter 4, part of the wrap up of what was happening with Jesus, you know, dealing with the Samaritan woman, you know, at the well, and after he had exposed, you know, certain things and spoke, you know, truth to her and got her fully restored, you know, into right relationship with God. It says this in verse 28. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? Oh, yeah, he was. So the people came streaming from the village to see him, to see Jesus. After she encountered Jesus and her life now was immediately hit and impacted and now being transformed, she goes back to those that she loves and says, come and see. Notice what she didn't say. Hey, I want you to go see somebody. She says, I want you to come with me. I'm going to take you back to introduce you to someone that will forever change your life. Come and see. A part of us bringing the oil means that we live a lifestyle with those that we love, our family members, friends, coworkers, neighbors, that we look to them and say, look, come and see. Come and see. And when we say come and see, you know, not come and see a preacher. No, come and see Jesus. Come and see Jesus. That's all I am. I'm just a conduit to help people to see Jesus better. That's what you are too. Yeah, come and see. Come and see. I want to challenge you to make a commitment not to come to gatherings alone. Make a commitment. Like I'm no longer just going to keep just coming to gatherings by myself. I'm bringing someone with me. I'm going to do, you know, what was necessary and so forth. I'll adjust my schedule or whatever the case so that I can go pick you up and watch this, bring you with me. Because our heart desire around here is just simply this. If you can get them here, we believe God will meet them here. You know how we talked about, you know, and showed the picture of the tabernacle that as they progressed through, they were preparing. Everything was a preparation for the presence of God. And we believe if you get them here, God will meet them here. Something that's said, something that's sung, something that's encouraged, something that's witnessed. God will meet them right here in this place. But you have a responsibility of bringing the oil. And part of that oil is bringing others with you. Are you still here or did you go home? Yeah. It's a responsibility of those who identify as the church. And remember this, when your life is genuinely impacted and transformed, it won't be difficult to convince people to come with you so that they too can experience Jesus. Come on, when that woman went back to her village and said, come and see, it said they start streaming out. They was like, what? You say what? We can already see how you've been impacted. I got to go. What has hurt the church for so many years is that so many that would identify as the church don't show any impact of God in their life. So people will say all the time, like, well, I mean, all that confusion and fussing and cussing you do at the job, I can get that at home. I don't need to go to church to get that. But when we are really impacted, when we are transformed, then it'll be easy. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me when I say, it will be easy for you to go to that family member, that friend, that coworker, and says, listen, this Sunday, I want you to come with me. No, watch this. Not just simply saying, you know, here's the address, but no, I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to pick you up. Why? Because I'm bringing my oil. Bringing my oil so we can see other lives impacted and changed. Would you do this with me? Would you stand up on your feet with me, please? Hallelujah. Would you lift up two hands unto heaven? Father, we are so grateful unto you. Thank you, Daddy, for calling us out of various backgrounds and various circumstances, so that we can be centered around you and your mission. Help us to understand greater, sir, and embrace the responsibilities that we have now that since we follow you. To bring our oil, Father, every time that we gather, a greater sense of generosity, a greater sense of commitment, a greater sense of expectation, a greater sense of desperate devotion for you. And yeah, Father, bringing others with us so they can enjoy and encounter you as well. So, Daddy, we're trusting you for continuous life transformations. Yes, our own, but also those, Father, that are connected to us, our families, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors. Yeah, the South Florida region, praise God. We thank you so much for your continued presence in our lives. We make the commitment, Father, like the pig, that we're going all in. Entering over into a place that we cannot go back from. We don't want to go back anyway. We love being here with you. So thank you again for loving us. And because you love us, we can clearly say we love you and we love your church. In Jesus' name.